Miller Lite, the official beer partner of your Philadelphia Phillies, is proud to serve as presenting sponsor of WIP's High Hopes Pod. So whether you're listening to the game, catching up on the latest High Hopes Pod, or at the ballpark, remember, it tastes like Miller time, Phillies fans. Celebrate responsibly.
It's blazing hot outside. You get in your car to turn on the AC to get cold air pumping, but it blows hot air out. This issue is commonly caused by low refrigerant due to leaks in the AC system. You want an easy, all-in-one solution that will restore the cold air in no time. AC Pro Recharge Kits make restoring cold air easy for even those with zero DIY experience in less than 10 minutes. Save time and money versus going to a shop by picking up an AC Pro Recharge Kit today. Be a pro with AC Pro.
This is the High Hopes Podcast. High Hopes. It's a bunch of baseball nerds, well, without the computers, talking about the Philadelphia Phillies on Radio.com and Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Yo, it is another edition of the High Hopes Podcast, the last edition before the 2019 season gets underway. Fritzy!
The last playoff list.
Oh, I like
playoff
this.
List playoff preseason list. Phillies podcast or High Hopes podcast.
Ever?
Ever. This is the last time we're going to do a season preview where the Phillies will not be in the playoffs.
Oh, this is so great.
They're back.
They're back.
Eight years, 2011. It's over. It's back.
This is, how about this? I said this the other day, and I didn't really think about it when I said it, but this is the hottest ticket this opening day since the playoffs in 2011. The hottest ticket at Citizens Bank Park.
I would say that's 100% correct.
How crazy
Utley's return.
No, this is bigger.
It's bigger.
It's Bryce Harper. First game. Excitement. It's bigger.
It's going to be crazy. Right.
We have so much to get into. We're going to do our season preview. We'll tell you where we think the Phillies finish. We got some bold emphasis on bold, at least on my end, predictions coming your way. Jack, though, let's start out with where are we going to be? We can actually hang out with some people if they want to come out.
Yes. So, listen, tomorrow night at Chickies and Pete's.
So, in case you're not listening to this on Tuesday when we record it,
right.
Wednesday night.
You know, honestly, I got in my head.
Could be tonight when you're listening. It's possible.
I got in my head on the drive down here, and I said, remember to say Wednesday, not say tomorrow, and sound like a total idiot. So, tomorrow night at Chickies and Pete's, or Wednesday night at Chickies and Pete's.
I
know, shut up. Anyway.
That was awesome. That was really great.
It's Wednesday night at Chickies and Pete's. We are doing a Phillies roundtable. It is hosted by Joe Giglio. We did it last year. It's for the evening show. It's 4 hours of baseball talk on the radio. It is great. So the lineup goes like this. From 6 to 7, it is Joe, Todd Zielecki, Corey Seibman. Goats.
Strong.
You can hang out, meet those guys, whatever. Then from 7 to 8, we got Mac and Mac back.
Mac and Mac. I'm old enough to remember Mac and Mac.
Glenn Mack now and Jody Mack hosting again on the radio for an hour, joined by Scott Fransky.
Oh, what a beautiful thing.
Honestly, I mean, no one's talked about Fransky on any of the promos, and I'm like, he's the only reason I'm going.
I would show up just to meet Scott.
So Fransky will be there. And then from 8 to 9, the High Hopes Pod.
Yeah, you know, batting in the third hole. I think that's fair.
Oh, that's where Harper bats.
Most important hour. Yeah, it's fair.
That's where Harper bats.
I mean, you know, none of the other hours really matter that much, but you know, you should come for all of them.
Yeah, the High Hopes hour from 8 to 9. And then 9 to 10, Franz is going to call in, and we're taking your Phillies bold predictions.
Ooh.
So we're going to have people call in with their bold predictions for the Phillies. So it's 4 hours of baseball talk. And you can hang out with us. We'll have some Chickies food and some beers. Maybe, probably not. Maybe like one or two beers.
You're already trying to figure out how many you can get away with.
Yeah, without sounding like an idiot. So, well, honestly, if you get two in me, I'm going to start talking about Pivetta.
Wow.
And no one wants rambling Jack about Pivetta.
No.
If I, honestly, the over-under is like 2.5 of when I start talking. My Pivetta breaking point. There's a Mendoza line, and then there's the Pivetta rambling about how he's going to be a dark horse Cy Young contender this year. So, yeah. So,
maybe I might have a Nick Pivetta bold prediction coming up in just a little bit.
Well, it's we only take positive Pivetta on this podcast.
Obviously.
Yes.
Speaking of Nick Pivetta, by the way,
okay.
One of us put his money where his mouth is.
Oh, here we go.
And drafted Nick Pivetta for his fantasy team.
I
reached like I needed to make sure that Nick Pivetta was part of my staff.
I honestly wish I never brought that up.
Yeah, well, it was your fault.
I have High Hopes listeners tweeting at me saying, hey, I'm not a coward.
Right.
I'm taking Pivetta.
Hey, don't be a coward. Draft Nick Pivetta. I could wear that shirt. You couldn't.
It was the worst decision of my life.
I know it was.
I have made many a bad decision.
This is the worst.
Not taking Nick Pivetta after me being the only reason he's being drafted as high as
it's
he
true.
Is. It was is one of the worst.
I mean, you started the Nick Pivetta breakout campaign, which is now a national thing. Everybody, the Eno Saris's of the world are jumping on board. And you didn't draft
the
guy.
I am utterly speechless.
Okay. At least you're appropriately defeated by
because,
this.
Because like every time I watch him, I'm like, oh, this is just
well, that's what I'm so excited about. Every time I watch Pivetta, I'm going to be like, oh, put that strikeout on my tab. Put that strikeout on my tab. Keep him coming, bud.
Speaking of strikeouts. Speaking of strikeouts.
Yes.
Jake Arrieta had 8 yesterday.
Uh-oh.
And he had 20 swings and misses. Which I don't know if he had 20 swings and misses all
last
season.
Year. He didn't.
No.
Well, in that one game, the Pittsburgh game, he had a bunch. And that was about it.
Yeah. No, that was it. So, listen, I'm in on both of them.
Let's hope that you backed it up with at least a bold prediction for these guys.
Yes. Right, also, before we really get jumped, can I just take one more victory lap?
Of course you can.
Theo Epstein.
What else is this podcast about, Jack?
Theo Epstein is a fraud. I've been saying it for years. He just signed Kyle Hendricks for $63 million.
All right. I won't say I support the $63 million for Kyle Hendricks.
Kyle Hendricks was turning into Kyle Kendricks right in front of our eyes, and Theo just gave him $63 million.
He ended 196 years of suffering, Jack.
I got you.
All right.
I got you.
Let's dive in here.
Let's
coming up in a little bit, we'll have our season predictions, where we think they finish, all that good stuff. But it's bold prediction time, Jack. And I don't mean like lame predictions, like what you expect to happen. We're getting bold here. I want you to go out on a limb here for me. I have, hold on, let me count them up. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. I should have done 10. That was dumb of me. I didn't realize I only had 9. I have 9 bold predictions for you. 1 for each spot in the lineup, though that is not how it plays out. But let's roll with it. What do you got for me?
All right. Let's go back and forth. Yeah. So I'll give one, you give one.
Of course. I'm just going to go straight down my list, how they popped in my head.
Okay. Scott Kingery is playing so well that they forces the Phillies' hands and they trade Cesar Hernandez at the deadline.
Whoa!
And take a shot on
for like a pitcher or something
on the kid. Honestly, I was trying to think together a trade package today.
Wow, this is a bold one. I really like this.
Does Nick Williams, Cesar Hernandez, and 2 prospects get you Bauer?
Does Bauer also on my fantasy team, by the way? Nick Williams.
They get an actual outfielder.
Cesar and
Kitness blows.
2 prospects.
And 2 prospects.
I mean, if Medina's one of those prospects, it does. I mean, you're going to have to give up a legitimate prospect in that bunch. But
Bauer's only got one year left.
And the Indians need to be struggling somewhat, like maybe looking to move. Yes, Bauer only has 1 year left, and Bauer has said
he's only signing 1 year.
Year
deals.
To year, baby. He's something else, that guy.
Dude, he's crazy.
He's
crazy.
Philly, he will be like, if he's good, obviously, we'll love him. But there is a path where Trevor Bauer could be the most hated athlete in Philadelphia. Like, he's type of personality.
Yeah, I honestly don't think he'll go well.
He's so good.
He's so good. He's so crazy.
So crazy.
It's like, dude, can you just relax for a second?
Stop talking. Just go out and pitch.
I think Kluber's. I think one of those guys is available.
I think Kluber makes more sense if the situation plays out that way, just from a makeup standpoint. He's got a couple years left
in
his deal.
If they want to still compete, Cesar helps him still compete. Williams is an MLB ready guy. They still have a spot for him.
You really think Nick Williams has value around the league?
I do.
You bring him up in all these trade packages.
Well, because I would rather
I'm
move
like,
him.
What am I getting? A bag of ball? No, I'm
no, no. I would
he's
rather.
Not that bad,
I don't like Nick Williams that much, but I think he has more value than Altair. Even though I think Altair is still the better player.
Yeah. Well, he definitely has more value than Altair, but that's like, you know, having more value than a bag of baseballs. So.
Yes, but Altair's heating up at the right time. So I think if you can move him, Williams and Cesar in a deal with 2 prospects, maybe it'll get. I don't know. Depending on like Medina in that deal for Kluber. I don't know how much I put in a Trevor Bauer deal because it's 1 year, year
because
to year.
It's 1 year, yeah, exactly.
So I don't know how much I really want to give up.
I think that would get it done. If the Indians are in a spot where they're looking to trade Bauer away, get something for him, I think it could work.
So
the Indians are that type of team. We talked about Lindor. You see the Indians owner was asked about Lindor, and he's like, what would you say to fans who are worried about Lindor leaving in a few years? He goes, enjoy him now. He was just like, enjoy him while you got him, because I am not re-signing that dude, because I don't spend that kind of money. He also had a comment about it, like $300 million contracts are not happening here. Like, he was very blunt.
Once again, Very glad John Middleton is our
Jack Middleton is our
owner.
My Scott Kingery Bowl prediction was so much less exciting than yours. I just said he bats over 280, which I thought was pretty bold considering he batted 230 last year.
These.
He bets over 280. He betted 233 last year or whatever.
Yeah, no, I think Kingery at the end of spring training was looking like a really, really good ball player.
I think Scott Kingery is going to be a lot more valuable from an offensive perspective than people think.
No, I
you clearly do too. You went a step further. You're 1-0 on the boldness of the predictions.
I think he's going to force their hand, and whether it's, I just think, I'll say it for a little later.
Okay, I'll give you one. JT Realmuto, 30-plus home runs next season. Pretty bold, considering 21, I believe, is his career high, or 23, has never come close to 30. I mean, we've seen all the numbers, the road versus home splits, 870 OPS on the road last year, 773 at home. You look at his career numbers, he's a 310 hitter on the road. I just feel like Realmuto, in this ballpark with the protection in the lineup he's going to have, I think JT Realmuto hits 30-plus home runs this year.
I think so, too.
Wow!
I think he's going to be... I just think...
That's bold. Like, he's never come close to 30.
I know,
yeah.
But I just don't think... I don't think we have any idea how good this guy's going to be.
I agree with you.
And first off, I think he has already helped Arrieta tenfold.
Well, we talked about it, how important he's going to be from a game calling perspective.
But then you factor in the offense. First off, it's just a loaded offense he's on now. Like, mm-hmm.
It matters.
Like, Julio Teheran's throwing up in his mouth having to think about the first five in this lineup.
Julio Teheran just came up with a mysterious injury.
Yeah, do you think Julio Teheran shows up? By the way, the Braves are starting two rookies in this opening weekend.
I know, you're a big Kyle Wright guy.
Oh, my God. I freaking love you. Love Kyle Wright. Right. He's gonna be this year's Walker Buehler.
I hope not. I hope not. Walker Buehler is really good.
Walker Buehler is dope.
I love Walker Buehler. He's really good.
But I'm all in on Kyle Wright. I'm all in on like Wright, Chris Paddock, like those kind of guys. Mm-hmm. My guys.
Pablo Lopez
and Trevor Richards. So this is gonna sound crazy.
I texted Jack during the late rounds of my fantasy draft after I had already taken Nick Pivetta. Let me remind you. I said, give me some of your late round arms, and I took some Jack Fritz late rounds arms. Pablo Lopez is on my team.
Yes. So let me just say, this sounds crazy saying this. I'm kind of jealous of the Marlins rotation.
You said this to me, and it sounded crazy. Defend yourself here.
I just think they're fun.
They're young and fun. Like, I'm a big Sandy Alcantara fan. We've talked about
Sandy Alcantara, I mean, Caleb Smith, yeah. Trevor Richards, Pablo Lopez. Like, you got some guys. It's going to be...
They're going to strike guys out down there.
Yes, I agree.
Sandy, not as much, but the other guys
Sandy's all
guys.
Over the place. And I hate Jose Urania.
I'm not a Urania
last year
guy.
When he... pegged
he's,
Ronald Acuna.
He's a D.
Yeah, I'm not a
total
big,
D.
Big fan.
All right, so we're on the same page. Realmuto, 30 homers.
All right, my second one. Jared Eichhoff saves the Philly season. I think.
Whoa, you are really bold. These are great, Jack. I just gave you one of these.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
We've got a Scott Kingery taking over for Cesar's traded at midseason, and Jared Eichhoff saves the season.
Yes. So
strong work.
So last year the Phillies were like. Only team in, I forget how long, but to have five guys make like 30 starts or mm-hmm. whatever, like they were just remarkably healthy. Like that's not going to, I just don't think it's going to happen again. There's a very small likelihood that it happens again.
It's almost impossible.
I'm worried about Eflin. I'm always worried about Eflin because of knee stuff. I think he's healthy. He's actually looking pretty good. I'm a Zach Eflin fan.
But a career high in innings last year, that's the type of thing you look for. Could lead to breakdown the year after, that type of stuff.
Yeah. I think Velasquez pitches himself out of the rotation. Please.
That is not a bold prediction.
I'm done with the middle
prediction.
And I read this article about Eichhoff the other day, and he was talking about how when he had that nice stretch in 2016, I mean like a 2.90 ERA for I think like 11 straight starts.
And an elite walk rate.
Yes. And he was throwing to Carlos Ruiz, and him and Ruiz were talking, and in the first couple starts he made that year without Ruiz, he was throwing a lot of first pitch fastballs or throwing a lot of fastballs, and they were getting crushed. And during that stretch, he reduced his fastball percentage by 10% and started using curveball more and more. So I think he's honing that in. And if he uses a curveball on 35% of his pitches this year, I think that's his fastball's not good enough to get away. But I think if he learns from that and
uses his other pitches to set up his fastball.
Right.
Almost.
That's how he has to pitch. He has to pitch backwards. He has to throw curveballs 2-0. He has to throw curveballs 0-0. Like, he has to be able to
catch guys off guard.
Yes. Because his fastball is 89 miles an hour. Mm-hmm. Like you're hoping he's Ross Stripling or something like that.
Yeah. Look, oh my God, you're praying he's Ross Stripling.
God, I do love Ross Stripling.
He's really good, that guy.
So,
stupid Dodgers.
I think there's so much depth, it's crazy. But I think Eichhoff is going to have to be relied upon, and I think he's going to pitch well enough to be a competent fifth starter.
All right, this one's pretty bold. Rhys Hoskins will lead the major leagues in RBI.
Okay.
That's bold, right?
Yeah, I mean,
J.D. Martinez led it last year with 130.
Oh,
it's a big number.
Nothing.
It's a big number. Last year, I mean, I think that it would have been bold to say he's going to lead the NL. That wasn't enough. Javi Baez led with 111 last year. He's going to crush 111. I think Rhys Hoskins gets in the 125 RBI neighborhood, and I think it's good enough to lead the major leagues.
I think it makes a lot of sense. I mean, when you're looking at the roster construction or the line of construction,
there's guys on base all the time.
I mean, you have OBP, Machine, and Andrew McCutchen leading off,
yep.
Which I think he's obviously leading off. I mean, Gabe said the other day.
Made it very clear.
Yeah, and the lineup yesterday was very, that's what it's going to look like, mm-hmm. I think, on Thursday.
I agree.
McCutchen, Segura, Harper, Hoskins, Realmuto, Herrera, Hernandez, Franco,
yep.
Pitcher, Nola, which will be Nola. So, I think he has a very legitimate chance, and I just think he's going to just be a beast in that four
hole. I think he's going to rake
Dude,
in that four hole.
The guy had 97 RBI, 95 RBIs last year in that range, and he was playing with no one.
Yeah, and missed 10 games, or 153 games I think he played, so missed 9-10 games
with the broken jaw
thing and stuff.
And he's been so streaky in his career that I think as he matures a little bit, he's gonna not have those streaks. I mean, he finished the year last year batting 253,
mm-hmm.
I think.
253.
So, yeah, if he can get a little bit more consistent, I see no, like, he 35 homers and 130 RBIs.
Yeah, buddy.
Okay.
Let's roll.
All right.
The major leagues. Let's go.
Let's do it. All right. This one I've said before, but I'm sticking with it. Adam Morgan develops into the most the most reliable lefty reliever.
I was waiting for it. I knew it was coming.
Listen,
for what it's worth, the more you watch the Jose Alvarez and, I mean, Pazos, it's more than anything that it's a lack of talent from the left side and left-handed side, so it's not that crazy from that perspective.
If there's one thing that always gets me to perk my ears up, it's a team tells a guy to throw more sliders.
Yeah, we know. It's your thing.
It's the one thing that I'm like, there's a breakout, automatic breakout. The Cubs told Cole Hamels to throw more sliders last year when he got there, went on an absolute tear. This is all the Astros do. When they bring in guys like Ryan Pressly with a fantastic spin rate, and they're like, hey, throw it more. and he's like, crazy idea.
More.
Crazy idea. So the Phillies did that with Adam Morgan, and against lefties in the spring, he looked good. They made him go against righties. That's just, come on, let's relax for a second. But the fastball velocity was 94, 95. And he's throwing like 0-0 sliders, 2-0 sliders. Like, he's mixing it in whenever he wants right now. All in.
Wow.
All in on Adam.
All in.
He was good in 2017.
I loved him in 2017. I was a big fan of his in 2017.
He had one down year. Everyone's off the scent. Guess who's not? This guy.
Also, guess who's not?
Also, him and David Robertson went to Alabama together. I don't know if that means anything.
Oh, it means everything. Roll Tide.
But they went to
I mean, I don't
Alabama
really need
together.
To hear anything else.
Right.
All right. I'll give you a bullpen one. This is the boldest one of all, and it's not going to happen, but I'm going to say it anyway. Hector Neris strikes out 40% of the batters he faces. Give it to me.
Hector?
It's like impossible. His career high. Last year, he struck out 37.5% of the batters he faced, which is insane. His career high prior to that was 33%. He's not going to get to 40%. Like, that's like almost Josh Hader-ish type levels that you're getting to. But the point of the bold prediction is that I think that we get the Hector Neris that we saw once he came back from the minors last year. He's not going to be closing. He's not going to have that pressure on him. I think Hector Neris is going to be, outside of Robertson and Sir Anthony, the best arm in this bullpen.
Robertson, Sir Anthony, Neris.
That's what I'm thinking.
It's interesting. Well, here's the thing is that for as much as we don't like him, Neshek's really good.
I honestly block him out. You're right. Neshek's a really good pitcher. He doesn't have the strikeout stuff that Neris does, though. So an on Hector Neris can be a better pitcher.
Yes, but I think consistency-wise.
No, you're right.
I would say
Neshek gets out.
He does.
I just hate the guy.
He's
such a jerk.
Yeah, well, the three batter minimum thing might be the end.
Might be the end of Pat Neshek. All right. I got another bullpen one if you want me to fire it.
No, I got it.
Okay.
At the end of next season, or the end of this season, Odubel Herrera will clearly be this team's fourth best player.
Ooh. I like that.
It's going to go Harper, Hoskins, Realmuto, Herrera.
I like this.
I think he's going to have a huge bounce. Dude, he is locked in.
Well, okay.
He is absolutely locked
in. I have some serious thoughts on Odubel. I actually have an Odubel Bowl prediction. Batting over 300 this year. That is my call. Over 300. He's never done in his career. 297, 286, 281 prior to last year. Last year, obviously, a down year at 255. Here are my thoughts. He's clearly can be an around 300 hitter, considering the fact that he went 297, 286, 281 the 3 years prior. So we know he has the ability. We've seen him bat over 300 for stretches, 360 through up till May last year. Just like you and Adam Morgan, you read that article. Read an article.
Oh, yeah?
Jim Salisbury.
Yeah, I read the same article.
Good piece, man. And the thing about it is that for the first time, it really seems like the Phillies are working on the between the ears stuff. Like they're acknowledging who he is and what he is, and they're actually focusing on it. I don't know who the guy was that he talked to. It's like some sports psychologist type person who they have sitting with him, and they're going through like at bats where he was successful and saying, what did you do here? How did this happen? Why did you do this? And actually trying to get him to think about what he's doing and why things are happening. Add in the fact that he's 27, physical prime. I'm so with you, man. I think that we're going to get a locked-in Odubel more often than not this year.
You know what it's going to be? It's going to be Bradley Cooper and Limitless.
Ooh, Bradley Cooper and Limitless?
That's what I'm talking about, Odubel. They're like, he's like, hey.
They're
like,
unlocking that. Yeah. They're giving him the pill and now he can just do everything?
Like the Phillies went to him and said, hey, you were doing this well. What happened there? He's like, I did this. And then he's going to be like, I'll show you that all the time?
Oh, click.
Is that what? Also, his WAR is gonna be way better this year because he has actual competent defenders next to him.
He doesn't have to cover the entire outfield. Basically,
he won't have Nick Williams. He won't have Reese.
Won't have me out in left
Reese
field
in
anymore.
Left field.
Won't have a slower version of me in left field.
I am all in. I just think he's gonna listen. I think the Phillies are so loaded that him being their fourth best player is like if Harper wasn't here or Realmuto wasn't here, I would have him as in like an MVP consideration, but it's just those are too loaded to realistically put him in the MVP conversation.
Yeah, I mean, you think it's Harper, Realmuto, Hoskins. I mean, those are your guys if you're talking MVP conversation.
Right, so I don't think
hard for a guy batting 6th, 7th in the lineup to win the MVP.
Exactly.
It doesn't happen very often.
Exactly, but there's a path to an all-star game there, for sure.
There's a path to a batting title. Like, I don't think he'll be
there.
Well,
he has the talent to do
that. But he is talented enough to win a batting title, and again, he'd really have to get it together. But I don't think we make a big enough deal about him being 27. It feels like because he's been here for so long and the rule 5 year and he started the whole year and the whole thing, like that it just for some reason feels like he's older than he is.
You know, I agree. I mean, it feels like he's been in our lives forever.
Forever!
Which is crazy. And he's been, I said this a couple of days ago on Twitter, like I really do think Philadelphia is going to fall in love with Odubel.
Oh.
Because he's not going to be the best player.
He's so fun when he's like going right.
No, I know. And he's not the best player. And if he's locked in and he's not making mistakes in the outfield, like I said this 1,000 times, imagine if Shane Victorino was your best player for like 3 years.
It's a great point. Yeah. Every time.
He's basically we hope he's Shane Victorino in a way, but relying on Shane Victorino to be your best player, that's not good for your baseball team because he is also erratic as well. Like Odubel locked in. I think Philadelphia, now that he's gonna be like their 7th best player, is just gonna fall in love with the guy.
I love it. All right, I'll give you one of my other bullpen one. This is just stupid. It's not gonna happen, but I'm going super bold. This team's gonna win a lot of games. A lot of save potential here.
Don't hurt yourself over there.
Sir Anthony Dominguez saves 40 games this year. And why is that bold? Because David Robertson's probably more the closer, you would think. I think it's going to ultimately end up being Sir Anthony. Robertson gives you more on the splits. You can put him in more spots with the lefty split thing. I guess Sir Anthony's really good against both. I'm just taking a shot. One of those two guys is going to save a lot of games. It's a lot bolder to say it's Sir Anthony, so I'm going to say Sir Anthony saves 40 games.
I'm going to vehemently disagree with you.
Yeah, it's probably going to be Robertson, but that's the point of the bold predictions.
I just think that they want Dominguez to be the fireman.
I thought that. I'm not 100% sure about that. Robertson seems like he's not the closer with a C. You know, this, as Matt Klentak put it on the Midday Show, the Scarlet C.
Yes.
He said they'd love to have someone like that. Sir Anthony is the most talented pitcher in this bullpen.
Oh, for sure.
Not even close. And I agree with you. I think they love having him in versatility, but I also think that this team is too good not to have someone lock down games. And I think Sir Anthony will flourish wherever they put him. Ultimately, I think it ends up with Sir Anthony on the back end.
Okay. I think it'd be Robertson.
I like it.
I think it'd be Robertson.
Good.
All right.
Had to disagree on something.
I think a lot of people saw this coming, but it's time to get it out there.
Do it.
Nick Pivetta finishes top 10 in Cy Young voting.
Oh, I love it.
He's going to have an unbelievable season.
I said 220 strikeouts is my bold prediction.
That's what I said last
year. Did you say it? I thought we were talking about Nolan when we talked about that.
Oh, yeah, I think we did.
Yeah, because look, he had 188 and 164 innings last year. All he has to do is get to 190 innings, and he's got it. It's done.
Yeah, no, and listen, there's obviously some, I mean, there's some great pitchers in the NL.
Top 10. So, I love, this is aggressive.
So you have DeGrom, Syndergaard, Nola.
Scherzer. Should have been the first name you said, but yeah, you know.
But we can't get exposed like last time when it was like, look, Bueller.
Kershaw, you can't put on that list because Kershaw's not going to, you're not healthy now. I mean, he's still in the running. You can't say Kershaw isn't, but I would be surprised if Kershaw holds up enough to be a Cy Young winner this year. But again, it's Clayton Kershaw, so he's in the discussion.
Bueller, I think, will advance into top 10-ness.
You could see a guy, I think there's another Bueller type guy, whether it's like a Jack Flaherty or someone who takes a big step forward. I could see that person
being
up there.
I think Flaherty finishes top 10 in all Cy Young.
Okay, so you're just making real jumps right now. I like it.
Oh, Flaherty's finishing top 5. I think Flaherty is going to be an absolute monster this year.
I like him too. That's aggressivo.
Oh, it's not. I think it's actually mild, to be honest. I think Flaherty's going to be the third best pitcher in the NL this year.
Wow.
I really do. I think
that is so bold.
He's so good, man.
Wow, we should have been doing Jack Flaherty bold predictions here. Is it just his name's Jack? Is that
are we a St. Louis Cardinals podcast now?
No.
Let me think this out. I'm thinking DeGrom, Nola, Scherzer, Bueller, Syndergaard.
A healthy Baumgartner if he's fully healthy.
Flaherty. German Marquez?
Dude, he's my guy.
Kyle Freeland?
German Marquez is my guy. I think he's better than Freeland. I think he's awesome. If he didn't pitch in Colorado, I think he'd be a Cy Young contender.
Taillon, had a good year?
People are in on Taillon this year.
Mikolas?
Miles.
I'll put Pivetta right in the 8 to 12 range.
Okay, how about this for a bold prediction? Aaron Nola wins the National League Cy Young.
There it is.
Wins more than 20 games. This team's going to be too good. I hate predicting pitcher wins because, as you know, as we all know, there are so many factors that go into it. I think Aaron Nola wins at least 20 games this year. I think he wins the Cy Young.
I love it. I think it was Jonah Carey did his trade value rankings, and he said that people around the league, like, if you had to pick a guy to win first Cy Young,
really?
It's Nola.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
So look, another year building off
DeGrom
last year.
DeGrom gets a big head with
and
the
great
new contract.
Team around him. Yes. Obviously, he's clearly that type of guy. Yeah. But also, I mean, think about it. With like a major league defense by Nola, too, what he did last year. Nola.
And a better catcher.
No, can't overstate that enough. A guy who's actually going to call games for him and be involved in that, intimately involved.
Well, it's weird. Like, when I watch Nola, it's like, how do I see him getting worse?
You don't.
Because he's so good.
He's going to get better.
He's so good. I don't know how much better he can get.
Not much, but we could see it more consistently.
Yeah. No, I agree. Yeah, we saw this. So the Athletic came
Shout
out.
Shout out to John Bartrett coming to the studio.
So the Athletic
the
came out.
The voice in our open.
Yeah, the Athletic came out today, and they did their player polls. And they said the most overrated player in baseball is going to be Bryce Harper. 62% of people say he's the most overrated player in baseball.
You know what that is? That's jealousy.
And which manager, aside from your own, would you least want to play for? Gabe Kapler is the winner.
Yeah, all right. But here's the thing. Gabe Kapler gets 18.3% of the vote. Second with 16.1% is Joe Maddon.
Yep.
So it just shows that players are dumb.
Also, Buck Showalter's not even a manager anymore.
No, he's not. It's a bad list. Mike Socha, also not a manager anymore.
Yeah.
It's a bad list.
So that's good. but let me just say this.
I mean, really? We got two guys who are not managers anymore on this list? Really?
That's
players?
Good. That's good. Let me just say this.
Shows how up to date they are on who's managing around the league.
Let me just say this. For all of you people out there that are looking down on Bryce Harper, and you are a little bit down on Bryce Harper,
mm-hmm.
Let me just tell you something. That on Thursday, March 28th, he is going scorched earth on your asses. Bryce Harper is going to destroy the National League. And listen, you may have slept on him. You may have said he's not worth that contract. Well, guess what, buddy? If he batted .280 last year and had 38 home runs, the guy's getting $400 million, okay? He had one bad half a season, and it has sunk his entire value around the league. I think people are now too down on Bryce Harper. They don't understand how good Bryce Harper is. He's entering into his prime, at a hitter's ballpark with a loaded lineup.
Well, I don't even think it's bold. I think Bryce Harper's winning the MVP.
I think he's winning.
I don't even think that's bold anymore. My bold prediction was he's going to break his record of 42 homers
and
100 RBI.
So you have him winning the MVP, you have Nola winning the Cy Young.
Let's go. Let's go.
Okay.
I don't think they're winning Rookie of the Year, if it makes you feel any better.
I'm just so sick and tired of this, like...
Let's go. MVP and Cy Young. Let's go.
I'm just so sick and tired of this whole Bryce Harper, like, he's so overrated and
these
all
are bold
stuff.
Predictions. Let's not forget.
Yeah, I'm just...
I'm not saying this is definitely going
to
happen.
I'm just sick and tired of it. I'm sick and tired of it, and I want people to understand that on Thursday, it is game over. For 162 games, he's going to be locked in. He's taking that $25 million a year, and
Ooh.
He is going to destroy baseball.
Johnny Marks going to be joining us Wednesday night,
Wednesday.
8 to 9, the High Hopes Hour.
I can't wait. Are we going to get listeners out there, High Hopes
That's
listeners?
That's what we're trying to do. We're trying to get the people to come out.
Yeah, we're going to talk about the most overrated player in baseball, Bryce Harper.
Oh, outrageous.
Even play a game and they're already starting in on him.
That's called jealousy is what that is. That's players saying, oh, you got $330 million. Jealous.
Well, I saw the ESPN list that had him ranked 15th a couple weeks ago, maybe last day, and I thought that was fair. The CBS poll that comes out that says he's the 45th. I mean, it's
asinine.
It's ridiculous.
It's asinine.
When the NFL Network or whoever did that Carson Wentz thing had him third overall, they were overrating what he did based on 1 year. And if the list came out this year and they had him at 110th, they'd be underrating the player he really is. He's closer to 15 than he is where he's going to be this year. And Bryce Harper's still an all-star player. He's still going to start in the all-star game in right field, and he's still
silly.
A good player.
It's silly. It demeans the whole thing. You look at the rest of the poll like it's a joke, wouldn't you? I mean, 45, come on.
Yeah.
It's a troll job.
It's a troll job. Yeah. That's
to
what
get
it
us
is.
To talk about him, we're doing
exactly.
it.
Exactly. Yeah. Good job.
Thank
All right.
You,
good job, CBS.
See you, Johnny. Tomorrow night.
Wednesday.
Yes.
Wednesday night.
Yes.
I'm doing the U and saying tomorrow instead of Wednesday like I did before. Wednesday.
So there's one thing with Bryce that I want to talk about real quick.
Ooh.
What's your level of concern with Vegas having his over under at 32.5 and Baseball Reference having it at 27?
I saw you tweet this. Zero? I trust Vegas a lot more than I trust
Baseball Reference, but still.
Reference. I think that when they do those types of things, they have to bake it in. Look, they're trying to get people to bet on both sides. There are a lot of people who don't believe in Bryce Harper. Also, when you look at the fact that he had 34 last year, it's not that much higher than that. I think it's silly, to be honest. I think they're hedging their bets. The 27 from Reference, I don't get at all. I mean, I guess they're guessing he's going to get hurt. If Bryce Harper plays 160 games and it's 27 homers...
Meltdown.
I'll walk naked through the streets.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It won't happen.
Right. Especially in this lineup.
In this lineup and in this ballpark.
I know.
Where that's 81 games here.
No, I think it's ridiculous.
It's just dumb.
It should at least been set at 34 and a half.
Yeah. Well, he 34 last year. Right. And he was hurt part of the season. That's silly.
I think it's ridiculous.
I think it's silly. I make some money. Go out and bet on the over.
Yeah.
I bet our...
should we take all...
I bet our boss about the whole... He gave me 31 as an over-under. I took the over. I put my money where my mouth is again.
Nice. Well, I just think it's ridiculous. But
then I forgot completely that I bet him, and he sent me your tweet, and he's like, "I'm gonna win," and I'm like, "What are you talking about?" He's like, "We bet on the homers." I'm like, "Oh yeah, forgot. I'll win. I feel good about it."
Okay.
I totally forgot.
But yeah, I just thought it was weird. I thought it was really weird. So good little chat.
Is this weird? Yes,
no,
it is.
Not yet.
We got a good Is This Weird coming up. I don't know what it is yet, but Jack very rarely texts me and says, I have the greatest Is This Weird ever, so.
Yeah, it's pretty weird.
I'm pretty excited.
All right, what do you got?
I'll throw one in there, too. That was it. I got my Bryce Harper. My Bryce Harper one's my
that was
last,
your last one.
That's my nine. Right. You got any more?
Yeah, because I panicked and remembered a couple. I only had like four written down, but then I remembered a couple that's that
good.
I wanted to write down.
Lay them on me.
Boehm has a bad year, and people are concerned about him.
Uh-oh.
And he drops to like fourth in the prospect rankings. But eventually, Jason figures it out. Jason Oshart figures it out, and he comes back with a monster year. The year
he
after,
he had one bad prediction. I mean, we're talking about like a 130-win baseball team at this point,
right?
I did go a minor league prediction though, so it won't influence the greatness of the major league team.
Had to work it in. I have one of Moniak or Hazley has gone to the deadline. So this one's not really bold. I just think
bold.
It doesn't. It makes a lot of sense because eventually these guys are going to have to play in the major leagues. Mm-hmm. I mean, and you've been
and you've got right field locked down for a nice little while. I'd say obviously DH could come and all that, but McCutchen here for 4 years.
Yeah, but you have McCutchen here for 3 more years. I think Odubel solidifies himself as a center fielder, and one of those guys is going to be traded this deadline. I think they're going to spend this first half evaluating who they want to keep long term. Mm-hmm. Haseley's going to start at Double A, I would think, and with a quick fast track to Lehigh Valley. And I think Moniak's going to start maybe at Double A. It'd be interesting if they keep him both again.
He better start at Double A. I mean,
well,
I know.
Maybe he starts at Double A. And boy, I can't wait to read into his power numbers at Double A.
I'll give you a prospect ranking one. At the end of this season, Luis Garcia is a top 30 prospect in baseball.
Yeah, I think so too. I think Luis Garcia is going to go out. Like,
he's the guy.
Yeah, it's gonna be him and Wander Franco as the next shortstops.
Wander Franco's already there.
Wander
Franco is a top 3 prospect in baseball already.
Yeah. It's annoying. He's so good.
Rays, man.
Rays. Can we just hire everyone from the Rays?
That's what I said with the Mets thing. They hired Brody Van Wagenen instead of Kyan Bloom, who was like a guy down there. It was such a silly move.
Crazy.
I love you, Mets.
And my final one, I just had to throw it in there. Aaron Altair is clearly the fourth outfielder.
I was waiting.
Roman Quinn's always bangs up. Also not that good.
Not going to start the season. He's hurt. Can't start the season. What else is new?
No one has been more overrated this offseason.
Where are the people who want Roman Quinn as your center fielder? Where are they at now?
That would look... That's gonna age poorly with Odubel's year.
Yeah, I think so too.
I think so too.
All right. So those are your bold predictions. Again, bold. We're not saying these things are going to happen, though Pivetta will be top 10 in Cy Young. That is a fact.
No doubt about it.
They probably won't win MVP and Cy Young, but hey, they could.
There's a lot of good pitchers.
Of the two, that's what I was about to say. Of the two, I feel better about Harper than Nola.
So do I, because I think Scherzer's going to do Scherzer things. I think DeGrom's going to do DeGrom things. I think Syndergaard's going to have a bounce back year.
Jack Flaherty going to do Jack Flaherty.
Jack Flaherty's going to be amazing. This may be bold. I think Wheeler's going to work himself in the conversation.
You've been a big Zach Wheeler guy.
He was really good in the second half.
He was very good. It broke out. I'm trying to think now if there's anyone we're forgetting in this discussion, because the tweet, who's going to be tweeted at us forgot? That's the question. Who will people tweet at us that we forgot?
It depends if Robbie Ray bounces back.
I was just about to say Robbie Ray, probably
Granky,
not.
Granky, no. Baumgartner, no.
Cubs pitchers, Kyle Hendricks.
No. Lester's bad. No. I don't think we're forgetting
Chris Archer bounce back.
No, Chris Archer's back.
You love Chris Archer.
No, I don't love Chris Archer. I've never loved Chris Archer.
Oh, jeez. You got really mad there. I'm like, no, I don't love Chris Archer. I think we're good.
I think we have our bases covered. Yeah. Anyone in NL Central? No.
Jack's
like,
really thinking hard. Like, right, Luis Castillo, looking up at the ceiling. He's
Sonny
like,
Gray, Luis Castillo, no.
Tanner Roark, bust out season in Cincy.
In on Tanner.
I know you are.
I'm in on, that's all the strikeout rates in spring training, and I decided all in. Chris Paddock? Chris Paddock making his way into it? He's in the Pivetta's going to be in the German Marquez class.
I like it. Look, if he's German Marquez, I'll be really, really happy. All right. Let's get to it. It's prediction time, Jack. Not bold prediction, real prediction. Let's start with the NL East. I want all five teams 5-1. How do they finish?
All right. I think the Nationals win the division. They win 92 games.
What a terrible job by
I think you. The Phillies win the wild card, and they win 90 games. I think the Braves finish third, but also make the second wild card.
Mm-hmm.
And they win, I don't know, 88, 89 wins with a young ass rotation.
Mm-hmm.
With the guy who's starting on Saturday, his name is Bryce, but spelled with an S. So that guy's gonna
loser.
Suck. Yeah. No, we're out on that guy.
Yeah, he's not a fan.
There's no way that guy's gonna be good.
No, he's already bad.
The Mets are gonna win like 84 games. I mean, it's gonna be better than last year, but come on. Mm-hmm. Like let's stop kidding ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Although Pete Alonso might be their Reese.
Oh.
Which hurts a little bit. Pete Alonso might be a guy.
We'll see. Dominic Smith wasn't, so
No. But Nemo's fun.
I like Nemo.
Yeah. But The Mets are...
I like their bullpen. That's about it. And their staff.
Well, their starting staff.
Yeah, I like their pitching. Not so much hitting. All right, and then the Marlins. Like 55 wins.
Yes. Who's the Orioles are worse than the Marlins.
Yeah, the Orioles are worse than the Marlins.
Not even close.
The thing with the Marlins is they are in an incredibly talented division across the board. It's going to be tough to play, you know, half your games against those teams, but still.
But their staff is going to be interesting to watch this year.
They'll be better than the Orioles. There's no question. They've had a good spring, the Marlins. They went 11 straight at one point, which is like, what?
There it is.
All right. Unlike Jack, I am not... I'll go back to front.
Oh, wait, hold
the
on.
Suspense.
Gabe just put out the opening day lineup. McCutcheon, Segura, Harper, Hoskins, Realmuto, Herrera, Hernandez, Franco.
So exactly what we expected. Okay. Marlins in fifth place. I'll give them 59 wins. It was 103 games.
Okay. That's what Jeter wants.
Junior psyched about it. Mets, 83 wins, fourth place. I agree with you. I think the Mets are overrated. this offseason. Everyone talk about, I mean, in terms of war, they say that the Mets added more war than the Phillies this offseason. It's just asinine. It's just silly. Like, in terms of what they lost versus what they gained.
Because Harper had a 1.3 war
the
last
number,
year.
I'm saying the numbers are, they did lose. I'm not criticizing the actual fact of that. I'm saying that it is asinine to think that the Mets offseason was very close to what the Phillies did this offseason.
Yeah, I mean, it's Edwin.
Edwin's the only guy I'm really excited about if I'm a Mets fan.
Yeah, I mean, Cano.
Back Juris Familia. Cano is playing second base, first base. Is Cano just going to play defense? Really? That's the thing that's going to happen? Jed Lowry. Ho-ho!
Oh, stop. Don't pick on Jed.
I like Jed. He's 35 years old or 36 years old.
He
I
should
mean.
Be like 31.
He can barely walk.
And he's hurt.
And he's, he's like my age, man. My age can't play baseball. All right.
No, you're start digging your grave, buddy.
You're right. Me and Jed Lowry. Braves in third place.
I tell you what, they're not going to be good this year.
I think they're going to bounce back. I think 85, or bounce back the other way, 85-ish wins somewhere in that range. I'll say 85. I think they have enough talent where they won't be bad, but how often do you see a young team jump out, have a big breakout type season, and then fall back the next year? It happens all the time. I think the Braves are the Phillies' biggest competition long-term in this division over the next 10 years. I think this year they fall back a little bit. I agree with you. I think the division comes down to the Phillies and the Nationals. I don't even think the Braves get a wild card. I think the Nationals get a wild card. They win 90 games.
Yeah, I think they're...
I actually had them at 89, and I think the Phillies... It's funny because you said 92. I have the Phillies at 92. I think the Phillies win 92 games. I think they win the division.
Now, let me tell you... Let me make my case for the Nationals.
Let's go.
Let me make my case for the Nationals.
And look, I'm not saying that... This is a very tight division, especially those two teams, in my opinion, at the top. The Nationals are right there.
Okay. Obviously, I'm not a Nationals guy, but... But I just think when you have a starting staff of Scherzer, Strasburg, Corbin, I think that's a really good three.
Yeah, when Strasburg gives you 15 starts, it'll really help.
I am eternally...
I do think Corbin's going to be awesome.
I am eternally grateful that they traded away Felipe Vázquez and Blake Treinen.
It's unbelievable. Two of the 5 to 7 best closers in baseball. We don't need you. I mean, Blake Treinen is like... I love, Pitching Ninja calls him a witch, and I think it's the perfect way to put it. He's a witch. I don't know how he makes the ball move the way he does.
At 98.
It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. Go watch Blake Treinen drifts, and you could just get lost.
Yes, and they also gave away Jesus Luzardo in that deal, who is the best pitching prospect in baseball.
I like him. He's hurt, but he's going to be good.
Yes. So thank you, Mike Rizzo.
Other than Forrest Whitley, of course. Best prospect.
Yeah.
Pitching-wise.
Yeah, he's pitched 50 innings. Let's relax with Forrest Whitley. I like Paddock, but that's just me. Anyway, so the Nationals, Doolittle's good at the end of games. Like, their bullpen's fine.
It's fine.
But the feeling I get about the Nationals is, sure, Harper's gone and he was their face, but I feel like for a lot of that team, that's going to be a sigh of relief in a way. Mm-hmm. Like, it feels like...
Write it and all that?
Yeah. That stuff was lame, but I just think that it's going to be
but it came from somewhere is the point. Like, that wasn't, like, that... I don't think... There was a mentality around that team, clearly, that some people didn't love Bryce Harper.
Yeah, it's going to be a burden off their shoulders in a way. I just think it's going to be a huge exhale for them. I think they're going to be able to go out and, that whole thing's gone.
Just play baseball.
Right, and Robles, I think, will be okay. Soto will be Soto.
I agree with you, but a lot of times, sophomore slump is a thing for a reason. It happens all the time in sports. I think Soto's too talented a hitter. I agree with you. I'm just saying, don't expect him to take a huge step forward yet. He's still really young.
I think they got better at catcher. I just think they seem like a more complete team, and they have more legit starter. I mean, Patrick Corbin has been one of the five. Well, he's a top five in Cy Young last year.
Corbin's awesome.
Right.
Also on that team has a good pitching staff. I got Bauer, I got Corbin, I got Snell. It's good staff.
So I think they're gonna come out on fire, and I think they're gonna try to prove a point that we're bigger than Bryce Harper in a way. And I just think they're too talented.
You think it'll carry them a little off? Yeah. And that's fair. Again, we're splitting it hairs with these two teams. They are both really talented. They are a team who is uniquely set up to be able to move forward with losing a guy like Bryce Harper. You have Robles ready to come up, who I think it'll take him some time, but is a elite prospect. He's a legit...
He's higher than Soto.
Yes. He was a top five prospect in the game at one point. So Robles, someone who has a lot of talent. Adam Eaton, if he stays on the field, a nice player to have out there. Rendon really getting to that prime time where he can... prime physical time of his career where he can kind of take another step forward. They're a very talented team. And Trey Turner.
Dozier.
Turner's one of the better, young players in baseball too. So I'm with you. I think the Nationals are going to be real competition. I think those two teams are a cut above the Braves and the Mets.
Yes, the darlings of the division.
The darlings of the division.
Yes.
All right, so playoffs. You have the Braves and Phillies playing in the wild card game. I have the Phillies in the wild card game playing against the Colorado Rockies. I think the Rockies make it again this year. I think the Dodgers win that division.
The Dodgers definitely win the West. The Rockies. So
I have the Nationals and the Rockies squaring off in that wild card game.
So the NL Central is only getting one team in with how loaded that division is.
But that's why I think they beat up on each other. I know the NL East could have the same thing, but because I think the Nats and Phillies will step up a little bit further, I think they beat on each other a little less. I think the Cardinals win that division. That's the only team I have making the playoffs from there.
Man.
The Brewers, it's tough to keep the Brewers out too.
Yeah, and the Cubs.
I don't think the Cubs make it though.
Yeah.
I'm with you. I think that they didn't make themselves better. They didn't spend any money. They didn't do anything. Their owner said, I can't afford to do anything. Apparently. Chris Bryant bounce back should help. Yu Darvish, who knows? I don't love the Cubs.
I don't love the Cubs.
Which is wild because their GM's the best of all time. I just don't get it. Or their president or
losing a step.
He's losing his fastball.
Well, Pecota had them at 79 wins.
I think that's low, but I think they're a low 80s wins team.
Well, and Joe Maddon, it's probably his last year. They think
potentially.
He's 100% gone. It just feels like there's something off.
It feels somewhat, there's something toxic there, whether it's the ownership on down. I think it starts at the top and comes down, but I mean, that guy's an asshole. The Tom Ricketts. I mean, he's a jerk.
Yeah.
I mean, that email that came out or whatever, I mean, that's one of those things where if they had taken his team away from him, I would have been okay with it because what an ass.
Yeah.
But obviously they weren't going to do that.
Yeah.
But
I think
from the top down, there's something toxic going on there.
Yeah, and Rizzo's become one of the most overrated players in baseball.
And I mean, look, I'm a Chris Bryant fan, and I would love to see him in red pinstripes maybe
one day.
Someday. But he was bad last year. And I know he's hurt at times, but Chris Bryant was not the Chris Bryant we know and love last
year. He had 17 home runs.
Yeah, he wasn't good. Without Javi Baez, that team, and I think Javi Baez, I love watching the guy play. Last year was the best Javi Baez you'll ever get. He's not a 33 home run guy or whatever. Like, he was really great last year.
He still swung at 40% of pitches outside
the
zone.
He led the league in RBI, which is crazy to think about.
Yeah, I'm not a Javi guy.
I'm not either. I think he's fun to watch.
Amazing. I don't trust a guy that swings and misses.
I don't think he's a top five player in the National League, and he was last year. He was the second best player in the National League last year.
Yeah, so not in on the Cubs. I agree with you, the Cardinals. I think they're going to have a really, really good year.
I really like the Cardinals. The Goldschmidt move. I think that staff with Flaherty and Mikolas, like, I love those guys. The pen should be better. Your boy Jordan Hicks.
I think Ozuna's going to figure it out again in year two. I think he's going to settle in there. So I'm in on the Cardinals winning that division.
It's the Brewers. That's tough to say. You know what? Brewers and Rockies slugging it out for that other wild card. That's tough.
Yeah, I'm taking the Braves out. The Braves aren't making the playoffs.
I don't think so either.
I'm putting the Brewers in there.
Okay.
Although they're getting a little banged up. I mean, Knebel might need Tommy John.
Yeah, Knebel's banged up. Jeffress is banged up.
Jeffress is also horrible in the postseason last year.
Look, I mean, they still have Josh Hader. Sure, they have Burns. That bullpen will be okay. But, I mean, you're talking about, like, it's still a starting staff with, like, is Jimmy Nelson ever pitching? Julius Chassin? I mean, these guys, like, I don't feel good about that. I like the Rocky staff better.
Well, 100%.
Yeah.
I believe in Brandon Woodruff, though, if he needs to do it.
Hopefully. I mean, I like Woodruff, too, but I don't know.
Well, they're going to slug. I mean, that team's going to slug.
Yeah,
so
they'll hit.
Listen.
Moose at second base. That's going to be interesting.
I'm out on the I take back my Braves comment.
Thank you.
It's going to be the Brewers or Rockies for the second wild card.
That's where I was at, so we're good. Cool. Same page.
Yes.
We needed that.
Yes. All right, what now? We're going to do AL?
AL? Sure, why not?
I think the Yankees win the division.
Really?
Yeah.
I think the Red Sox win the division.
Indians, obviously. But
no
question. The Twins make it interesting.
I think the Twins will be better.
The Indians roster isn't... I looked over the other day. It's not that great.
Not that great. I think it'll still be good enough to win at that division, it's one of those things where the Indians win total will just be inflated by playing the Tigers, the Royals, and the White Sox, excuse me. Those are going to be three of the worst teams in baseball.
Yeah.
Pretty easily.
Definitely going to help.
But I think the Twins will be better. Jose Berrios is going to be
sleeper
really
Cy Young.
Sleeper Cy Young type guy. The West, I think Astros, obviously.
I think the Athletics take a huge step back.
Yeah, I do too. I'm not in on the Athletics at all. I think it's going to be interesting there. I mean, I think the Astros, the clear
for sure
division front runner there.
For sure. I mean, Matt Olson's already banged up for the A's.
Yeah, he's out indefinite.
I think the Angels make the playoffs.
I think the Angels are in second place there. Man.
Who else will win the wild card?
The Yankees and who is the question.
Yankees or Red Sox.
Red Sox, whoever the other team.
Rays.
Hey, hey, man, they were in it last year.
Won 90 games.
Yeah. Tommy Pham, Blake Snell.
So it comes down.
Nathaniel Lowe on the way up.
So it's going to be Yankees or Red Sox is one of the wild card
for
teams.
For sure.
And it's going to come down to the Twins, Rays,
A's, Angels. Mariners,
no,
probably not.
No way. That's right about it. The AL, is
AL
very
is surprisingly. Well, it's very top heavy.
Very top heavy.
Surprisingly, even less bullish on the AL than in years past. Like those three teams are great, but it's really bad. After
the NL is going to be so fun.
Yeah,
it's going to be so fun. The NL East, like, of course, you don't want your other rivals to do well, but it's just going to be so much fun, night in, night out.
World Series.
World Series is going to be. World Series is going to be Dodgers-Yankees.
I don't even want to say it. I think it's going to be the Yankees who win the World Series. I hate it. I'm going Yankees over the Cardinals in the World Series. I think the Phillies lose in the NLCS. I think they get to the NLCS.
You know what I'm excited for this year with the Phillies is that by the end of this year, we're going to know exactly what they need. Like I think the lineup is set. I think the lineup is set for the next 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe Franco, you get a replacement there. You can get a legit third baseman.
Right.
Although,
and maybe Kingery is, as you discussed, the second baseman.
Right. Although I will say, like, Franco is your eight hole. It's like a better.
It's fine. That's the thing is, like, as much as I've railed on Franco over the years, if he's the eight hole hitter and he's the worst hitter in that lineup by far, sure.
Right. And when I've watched the Phillies this spring, all the young guys, it feels like they've all taken this collective sigh of relief. Like, Kingery looks much more smooth. Herrera looks smooth.
It's because they're not relied on to carry the team.
No,
anymore.
I know. And that's how I felt last year. I felt like Kingery had the whole weight of the whole team on him.
Yes.
And
the contract coming off that thing, there's less of that pressure. Like, oh, they gave this guy all that money. He's never stepped foot on the field and all that.
Right.
I don't have that.
When I watch Franco now, it looks like he's just had a huge sigh of relief. He looks comfortable and happy. Like, they just look so happy. And that's a good.
What a difference that makes. And as you know, my corner
team.
That I keep. Harping on, but
they're human beings.
Yes, and that matters. You're gonna be if you're happy, you're better, you're more positive, you're doing more things, you're engaged and all that.
Right. So I think there's a level of relief that Harper's here, Realmuto's here, Hoskins another year older, they can just play baseball, which I think is good.
By the way, if you're wondering if I picked the Yankees to win just to jinx them, I did.
All right. Well, you're not supposed to tell people about your jinx.
Well, people need to know.
They're not supposed to know.
I know.
She ruined the jinx. So now they're going to win the World Series.
No!
It's on you.
No, it's a reverse jinx.
A reverse jinx.
They're winning it. That's what I said. So.
But I think the Phillies like will know where they're at the end of the show.
Either
know.
Way, we're both saying the Phillies are going to be a playoff team this year.
And I think, I do believe that their first three are going to be legit good. And I think 4-5, if Eflin's your five, I think if they go at the deadline and they get a legit four in here, like, because I'm in on Arrieta. Like, Arrieta was disgusting yesterday.
We know.
But he was disgusting yesterday.
In on Jake.
He was 93, 94. His cutter was disgusting. And the thing that I like about Jake right now is that all his pitches, like, he's kind of ditched the slider a little bit, the curveball a little bit. And I think it's a good thing from the standpoint of that can be your get-me-over pitch, but I don't think it's good enough to get much swing and miss anymore. But when you look at Jake Arrieta right now, his fastball, his changeup, and his cutter are all coming out of the same exact arm slot, but they're all moving at different portions of when it's getting to the plate. Like, what makes him so disgusting is that you'll have the sinker that sinks a little bit, you have the changeup that sinks a little bit more than the sinker, and then you have the cutter that has the same, looks like the same out of the hand, but then darts the other way. So, like, him being a three-pitch sequence tunneling guy, I think is going to lead to a very good Jake Arrieta season.
Tunneling, baby.
Oh, big tunneling guy.
You love tunneling.
20 swings and misses yesterday.
Yeah, that's crazy. I am not sure he had 20 swings and misses all last year. Like, I know he did. I mean, I know he did. Don't tweet at me or whatever. But it felt like he didn't.
And it was against the Rays, who are a put-the-ball-in-play team. Organization.
No,
so I just think that If he sticks to the plan of three pitches and I'll mix in my slider as a get me over and I have three pitches that look the same out of my hand but they both go different ways, I think it's gonna be a really, really good season.
And again, for that particular guy, having a full spring training, being fully physically healthy to start the year, all that, that's huge. I mean, he's all up physical conditioning, all that type of stuff matters so much for him. I do think it'll make a difference. All right, Jack, couple things before we get out of here. Reminder. Tomorrow night, a.k.a. Wednesday night.
Yes.
We'll be at Chickies and Pete's. Jack will be there from 6 to 10. I'll be there from basically like 7 to 9:30, somewhere in that general range too. Yeah. However long I can get away from my wife and child to go out and have a little fun and then come back and be a dad again.
Yes.
So coming out, we would love, if anyone who shows up in a High Hope shirt, we will buy you a beer. Is that a fair thing to say?
Yeah.
If you show up in a High Hope shirt, I'll buy you a beer. We would just love to meet you. We just want to meet you people. We love the High Hopes Nation so much. So please come out, say hi if you can. Joe Giglio and I will be there the day after as Jack is, it's tough. It's a tough one, bro.
So listen, I'm not going to be at opening day, no. And it really hurts.
It's tough.
I have to take one for the team
back
here.
Jack has to, I mean, it is a compliment in the sense that they don't trust anyone else to produce the game here. You're the only person they trust.
Yeah.
It's a compliment.
And the other guy who they do trust is going away.
Yeah, well,
so
he's,
that doesn't
know,
help.
We can blame Spike in his trip to, yes, to wherever. It was, yes, in Milwaukee,
so,
or whatever.
Well, everyone is having fun watching Bryce Harper's first
not
jog
Milwaukee,
out
Minnesota,
to
Minnesota. That's it.
His,
yeah,
first jog out to right field and bowing, and everyone's tearing, and it's like Woodstock in right field. I will be back here.
Jack, I will be there for you.
Ugh.
I'll be in right field. I'll make sure to give you the Woodstock feel. And April 6th, we'll get to go. You won't have to do any producing or anything. We just got to go hang out. We can drink some beers, have some fun. Offer extend there as well. Wear a High Hope shirt. Buy a beer.
Yeah, and that's for the Fighting for Frankie organization.
Correct.
Which is still my pinned tweet if you are interested in going. They sold a lot of tickets. There's going to be a lot of people there. Be a lot of fun. Tickets are only $20.
Which is a steal at this point.
Yes.
So, and you can see those upstart twins coming into town.
Yeah.
How about that?
The AL Central winning twins?
It wouldn't shock me. It's possible. All right, Fritzy, most important thing before we get out of here. Is this weird?
Okay, is it weird? So
is it weird?
So, all right. I don't know. I really don't know how I'm going to explain this. But there's a song.
I like the fact that you just picked up your laptop for some reason. So I feel like we're headed in a good direction.
There's a song by.
You just picked it up.
There's a song by Drake.
Okay.
Off
that
of,
I'm sure I don't know. Because,
off of the album, If You're Reading This, It's Too Late.
And that's the name of the album?
Yeah. And not many people listen to this album. I mean, it was like.
Jack, I could tell you I didn't.
Yes.
I'm one of those people.
There's a song on it called Star 67.
Okay.
And this is always in my head like three times a day because I change one of the words around. Every single day.
Okay.
And I'll just be like,
I can already tell this
what
is
made,
weird.
What made me think of it is that I was walking on the Wissahickon Trail the other day,
mm-hmm,
like with Jill, and I just kept being like,
you guys love walking.
Big walk people.
Yeah.
Yeah. I kept saying this line over and over again, and she was going to kill me. So let's just listen in, okay?
Okay.
That's what they doing to people. Acting like these singers, man. I ain't going to do it until I got a situation, a subject. I need
Hold
a beat.
On.
I need the producer. Who's going to be on the hook? Man, what have you done?
Wait for it.
You're holding your laptop up to the mic.
Brand new Beretta. Can't wait.
Oh, I know it. See, let me guess. Brand new Pavetta.
I change it to Pavetta every single time. So I'll just be like, brand new Pavetta. And like, it doesn't, no one, literally, there is me and my one friend from home are the only people that get it. And like, we'll just randomly text each other, like, brand new Pavetta, and they'll die. But like, I had to bring it to High Hopes Nation that if you listen to Star 67 and change the words to brand new Pavetta, it sounds better. I'm going to tweet Drake and say, hey, can you please change the words around? Because brand new Beretta doesn't work. It's brand new Pavetta.
Okay. Here's the ruling on Is This Weird? It is not weird. It is awesome.
Thank you.
I love it, Jack.
Thank you.
I'm a big fan of changing the words to stuff.
Brand new Pavetta.
Brand new
it sounds
Pavetta.
Better. It sounds better.
It's definitely better.
I know. So when the Phillies put together their when they put together his Cy Young caliber highlight compilation at the end of the season, they need to pay Drake.
It's a really good idea.
They need to pay Drake
this,
and say,
you mean the Cy Young winning compilation?
Yes.
Like, hey, watch the Cy Young season highlights, brand new Pavetta.
Yeah, and Drake changes the whole lyrics around.
This is great.
To brand new Pavetta.
This is great. Not weird at all, Jack.
Thank you. It's the way my brain works.
Much weirder than.
Also, hold on. I have an impromptu. Is it weird?
Ooh, good.
That I wrote down. I woke up at 4 this morning thinking about Nick Pavetta. Like, I was dreaming.
See, that's the thing. That is weird, but on brand.
I was dreaming.
Not unexpected, but weird.
I am not lying to you. I was dreaming about Nick Pavetta.
I love that. I am not lying to you.
I'm sure there's people who think I'm being.
I'm not lying.
Rolled over at 4 a.m. and I was like, what was I just doing? And I was. It was me watching a Nick Pavetta highlight compilation.
Oh, man.
So
the nod you just gave me, did the like, yeah, buddy, I did it.
Yeah.
It was really cool.
That was the last thing I remember before waking up was Nick Pavetta's highlights.
Wow. That's weird.
Yeah.
Is it weird that I like plain rice from Wawa?
What do you mean plain rice?
Like white rice. I like their white rice on the side. Is that weird?
I love rice. I'm more a pilaf guy, though.
Yeah, but that's what I mean. Like, no one just eats white rice, just white rice. And I don't like white rice by itself from other places. I like Chinese food in it or soy sauce or whatever. But from Wawa, I just like the white rice.
I love white rice.
Okay, I'm so not that weird.
I'm a big rice guy.
I'm a big rice guy, too. Big pasta guy.
I like grains guy.
Oh, I like guess grains.
What? Guess what? The Philly scoreboard right now has them up 5-0 over the Braves in the bottom of the first.
Oh, preview. What's going on?
I don't know, but I'm all in. So I cannot wait for Thursday.
Over under, would we go an hour for this podcast? We have 40 seconds until we hit the over.
Yeah, because we're going to do another podcast.
Season preview, baby. This, you had to.
We had to. So we're going to do another podcast either Thursday after the game.
Either Thursday night or Friday.
Yes.
Because there's no game on Friday. So, you know, heading into the weekend and all that. One of the two. It will all depend on Zoe Seltzer. We'll just throw it out there.
Come on, Zoe.
We'll throw my daughter under the bus.
Yeah, do it one time. Help us out.
Come on, Zoe.
One time.
I don't know. She's too busy listening to Drake and singing Brand New Pavetta these days.
Listen, I do hope that one other person knew what I was talking about.
I'm sure. Look, as soon as you said it, I knew exactly where you were going. So I could see it.
All right.
Could have cut it down so that we didn't have all that other intro music where we're just sitting there.
Cut it down.
Wait for it. Holding your computer up.
It's called
we could have done
suspense.
That better. We'd be, what we really, if we were really on our game, we should have just edited it in later. But that's not how we roll here.
No, not at all.
No.
No.
It's not the High Hopes way.
No.
All right, rate and review the podcast. It makes Jack so happy. I've even tweeted out to rate and review these days. I'm really getting good at this, Jack.
You're getting there.
No, terrible.
You're not bad.
All right. We'll be back later this week talking about an actual game that mattered that was played, a Phillies victory over the Braves. Can't wait to talk about it.
The Phillies are back.
Final thoughts is that.
My final thought is, like, what, like, just.
Phillies are back.
A full bank, home runs, Aaron Nola.
Red October. Let's go.
It's all going to be back. For as much as I'm excited for, you know, talk about a good baseball team, like, just having everyone back on board with the Phillies is going to be amazing.
Yeah.
Everyone's excited.
And just the fact that, like, you and I, the last few years are evidence. We're going to watch all the games anyway, whether they're good or bad. So, like, to actually have it be fun and then be good is awesome.
Thursday.
We'll talk to you guys then.